We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
We've got to try to, make sure that we get in, but we've also got to make sure that once we end, that our game's sharp and that we've identified the group that we want to start game one with. And it doesn't mean that you'll go with that group night after night, but certainly, I kind of met with some guys this morning, and it's not easy because everybody's got an argument, and you can make a case for everybody that why they deserve to play and the good things that they've done for us at different points. But we have to make some choices, and so we'll do the best that we can over the next little bit here.
Well, Mike Yeo, I'm guessing he's not talking about, sitting Devin Dubnyk if they get into the playoffs. He will be, maybe a little tired, but I think that should be a safe bet, right? He's gonna start, and what else matters if you got him in the nets? Tonight's going to be a hell of a game, by the way.
Yeah, but the defense healthy would be a nice thing that's really helping out,
Doobie.
Yeah,
fine. Tonight, though, could be a Stanley Cup Finals preview. The Rangers, the New York Rangers, who, by the way, they're tied for second with Nashville for the second most points in the league. Anaheim's kicked it in a bit with four straight wins. They are going to be the top-seeded team.
Most likely they will be, which is good
for
us.
No, they're going to be.
Because we're probably not going to drop to 8.
No, you stay at 7. You're the first wild card team. And as it stands, you will play against Nashville. Nashville, they've had a rough goal. They've lost 2 straight, but they have not been the way they were earlier in the season. I mean, they had the great home streak going, and then the Wild went in there and beat them.
We messed them up.
Messed them up, but good. I don't want to sound like I'm a Uber fan here. Because that's the one thing. Now, I'll let you get away with it a few times, but don't start doing the we thing with the Wild. We are going to win. Don't do that stuff.
But we are going to.
No, don't give me the we stuff. The only we you can say is OUI, if you want to go French on me.
Or Nintendo.
Which is annoying, too. But we're gonna beat the Packers. Oh, we're going to beat the Rangers. You're not a we. You're supposed to be quasi, semi, somewhat objective.
Meh.
You're not, are you? Well, we, as a state of Minnesota, well, I'll give you the stat. You guessed it right away. And Sam, you're in there, right? We got some. Okay, here. We have swarm tickets to give away, because I know we haven't given away the last few days, and we want to. You call in and you tell me, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. This will be the easiest contest you have ever had. Sam's going to hold up his fingers and tell me how many swarm, and this for any swarm game, how many tickets we have to give away. We have 4 sets of tickets to give away. So first 4 calls can get it. You tell me there are 2 teams, 2 states, excuse me. ESPN did a poll. 48 of the 50 states in these United States are pulling for Wisconsin. 2 states are pulling for Kentucky in the national semifinal game at the Final Four. Who are those 2 teams? Actually, just give me one of them. We'll be happy with that. 651-989-9105. Hellboy here was at a lighten up. Let's go right to the, just grab one of them. Help Sam out there. Hello?
Am I one of the 4 callers?
You are. So you tell me, what 2 states are picking Wisconsin? Or excuse me, are picking Kentucky and not favoring Wisconsin? Pulling for Kentucky and not Wisconsin.
What 2 states?
What 2 states?
Kentucky and Florida.
Oh, my God. I thought this was a slam dunk. But I did say all you had to do is get one of them right. You got one of them right. Hold on. Right. You'll get your tickets.
Sweet.
All right. Who do we have now? Who's this?
You got one of them right.
Who is this? Lower that radio. All right, now you give me the other. You already know one of them because you're listening, right? All right, what's one of them?
One
state. There are 2
Kentucky.
States of the 50, okay, that are pulling for Kentucky. What's the other state?
The state of confusion. Because they're calling to the wrong team. I'm going to say, we got Kentucky, and then we got North Carolina.
Oh, my God, these people are unbelievable. You know what? You got Kentucky. We'll give you the swarm tickets anyway. Who is this? Wait, don't let them go yet. So you're picking Kentucky to win?
Oh, no, Wisconsin.
You're picking Wisconsin. Oh, you are picking Wisconsin to win.
I'm picking Wisconsin.
You picked Wisconsin to win it all?
Yeah. Start from the very beginning.
Who do you have them playing? Duke?
Duke.
Well, you must have is your bracket. I mean, who's alive? How many of the teams do you still have alive? Do you have three of the four?
Wisconsin.
You got Wisconsin, Kentucky, Duke, and who's your other team?
I only have Wisconsin. That's it. Wisconsin was the only one that is alive.
Who did you have beating Kentucky?
Well, actually, I had the last game beating Kentucky. Who'd Kentucky?
Notre Dame.
I had Notre Dame beating
Kentucky. That almost happened. So that wasn't too bad.
Nope.
All right, well, hold on and you'll get your tickets. Let's go to another one. Let's get that other state. See if any. Do you know the question? 48 states have people pulling for Wisconsin. What two states are not pulling for Wisconsin?
Minnesota.
Boom. Finally. And what's the other one, though?
Kentucky.
There you go. All right, that was... So did you? I was amazed by that. I was surprised that there's. We would have to be. Minnesota would have to be one of them, not pulling for Wisconsin. Are you pulling for Wisconsin personally, or are you pulling for Kentucky?
I'm pulling for Kentucky.
Because you like the idea of them going undefeated, or you just think they're that much better than everybody?
I'm a very casual college basketball fan, so I just like the idea of greatness.
Well, here's the other question, though. Do you hate the thought of Wisconsin winning a national title because you're a Minnesotan?
I was born in Wisconsin. I'm a Packers fan. Do I still get tickets?
You're getting the tickets. You get your swarm tickets.
I don't know. We might have to debate this.
No, he's getting them. You know what the beauty of it is, too? You can pick any one of the swarm games you want, which is great.
Wonderful.
So hold on, and Sam will get your information, and we have one more, I think, pair of tickets to give away here. Hello? 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 All right. Well, we have another pair of tickets to give away. If you want them, give us a call. Nobody else is on there. They're all waiting for Sam to get the information, right?
Yeah.
All right, then. I can't believe it took so long. Florida. Is that a new one? Hello?
Jeff from St. Paul. Jeff, you there?
Jeff. All right, you give me the two states, even though you probably heard them already. This is the kind of day we're having here. We're just giving tickets away.
I happened to see the poll on Facebook earlier. Then
who are they? Did it surprise you at all to see Minnesota hating the thought of Wisconsin winning?
Oh, God, no. That's what they were born for.
They were born what, to be hated?
Absolutely.
You're a hacker. You're a Packer. You're a hacker hater. A Packer hater, too, I'm guessing?
No, I was actually born in Minnesota, but I'm a Wisconsin fan.
How did that happen?
In a great school in Minnesota and then high school in Wisconsin, and you just got a room for the winning team of best.
Oh, well, you got a shot. Now, do you think Wisconsin can knock off Kentucky?
I really hope so. I'd like to see them break their streak, but I can't say for sure.
No, I think both games are going to be really good. I still think it'll be Duke, Kentucky. And, anyway, that's what I'm pulling for. Well, hold on a second, and Sam will get your information. You are getting swarm tickets. That was good. I'm surprised. Somebody said North Carolina and then Florida?
No, you got to figure it'd be Minnesota because we're smart and we're picking the team that's going to win.
No, because they hate. Why do you hate Wisconsin so much?
Because they're right there. So close. They're too close.
What have they ever done to you? Wisconsin, I mean... Most days, I'm real pleased with them because, I mean, my wife was born in Wisconsin. She did come over here. She was a turncoat to Wisconsin because then she became a Vikings cheerleader. Before that, she cheered for that soccer team, the Strikers. So my kids were certainly born in Minnesota, but their lineage goes back to Wisconsin. I don't tell people that a lot because, people get all worked up with the whole
closest rival.
Yeah, and it's not like that, though. Now, what are they? Okay, they're bordered by Illinois. Illinois could care less about Wisconsin. They don't really see them as the rival of state rival the way people do in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Is it just Illinois? Is Missouri border them too? Iowa touch Wisconsin. This is embarrassing. I need to look at a map. Do you know who borders? Okay, Sam. We got anything else to give away? 651-989-9105. I want to know which states border Wisconsin. The only one I'm sure of is Illinois
and Michigan. The Upper Peninsula.
Oh, the UP, okay. See, that would have been a tough... You gave that away. Damn you. I was holding that one back. But what about the... is it touched by Missouri, too? Do you know?
I'm just going to say yes. No. No, it's not.
What do you mean no? You do know or you don't know? You don't know anything.
I'm going to say no. I'm going with no.
All right, you know what I need? I need to find a, we have to find a map of the U.S. This is embarrassing. We know, well, okay, I know you know this one. You know what states border here, right?
Yeah, those ones, I'm looking at them. Canada, that's a state, right?
Well, Canada, the state of Canada, that's one of them. Okay, it is bordered by, Wisconsin is, oh, it's just Iowa, Illinois, and the UP. It doesn't look like, well, that would be it. Missouri's a lot farther, yeah, it's a lot farther down. So it's those three, the UP of Michigan, Illinois, and actually Iowa extends quite a bit into Wisconsin, up on that northern part there. And are we touched at all by nothing? No part of Nebraska touches Minnesota, right? No, it's.
I hope
you
not.
Have to get into South Dakota. So anyway, there's our geography. That is our geography lesson for the day. Hey, did you see, by the way, on other websites have, but I saw it on CBSSports.com. Anyone who sees it, you're going to go look. It's the headline is about there's a woman named Lexi Thompson. She's an LPGA player, but I got to give you the headline. LPGA's Thompson shirtless for magazine cover. I bet it's one of the most hit things they have up all day. I did it only to give information. I really could care less. But anyway, Golf Digest put Lexi Thompson. And it's a cheap.
She wearing a jacket?
Way to do it. No. That's what I figured it was. What it is she's standing there with her golf glove on, and she's got, it looks like it's a towel around her neck covering her woman parts. So it's, I mean, you would see more from a bikini top than what you're seeing from her having a towel around her neck. So it's kind of cheating when they're doing something like that or saying something like that. You follow, do you watch LPGA at all?
No.
Those women can hit it.
I mean, well, they're better than me. I know that.
Wait a minute. This is the first time in any athletic endeavor you have admitted someone is better than you.
No, okay, that's... you're going a little too far.
No, I'm not.
I didn't say I'm better than everybody. I was just listing what I can
well,
do.
You told me you could run the 4-2, 40, or 4-5, whatever it was. You could dunk on LeBron. You got a better vertical than LeBron James.
I got to pay attention to some of the words that come out of my mouth.
Yeah, you really need to. You can throw a football farther than Teddy Bridgewater.
Clear over the mountains.
Though I would think there, you know, a few people could, a lot of people could claim they could. He did have that one duck last year. I'm sure you could throw farther than the other quarterback they let go. The name, whose name that has been stricken from the books.
Ponder?
No, Christian Ponder's a good guy. I'm still, I still like the guy. By the way, speaking of good guys and guys who now he is going to be joining us in a bit. In all the years I covered the Vikings, it goes back to 1984. I did not see Carl Eller and Alan Page and Jim Marshall. I did not see them play when they were playing in their heyday. So post Purple People Eaters, but I did see Chris Dolman play, and I saw John Randall play, and I saw Jared Allen play. I've seen every defensive lineman play for the Vikings since 1984. And the guy who I consider the fiercest and best pass rusher of them all, not in the Hall of Fame, Keith Millard, will be our guest in a couple of segments. Right now, though, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we got a little threesome action. We're going to talk to Pat Borsey from the New York Times. We got Keith Millard, D-Bag of the Day, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and Suhan Unfiltered, and our old pal Rick Harrow. He'll tell us plenty from the Final Four. We're packed. We want to hear from you. 651-989-9105. Give us a call. Weigh in on anything. And we'll see if we got anything else that we can give to you. We'll be right back. Did you two work this out ahead of time? Sam Ekstrom is our guest. Sam, I co-host the wake-up call on Sundays, 8 to 10, with the laughing man, Tom Schreier, Nick Hallett. That's our guy. Who's on line one there? Let's find out.
This hasn't worked out well for us in the past.
Well, that's why you have a button, and that's why you can dump it quick. Hello, who's this?
Yes, this is Tony from Able Playing.
Tony, how are you?
Fine.
Good.
I was wondering, when was the last day on the KQ Morning Show?
The KQ Morning Show is still going and going strong. So, but thanks for calling. You can listen every morning at 5:30. Who was that down there? You got buttons all over the place.
Yeah, I'm just pushing buttons. Quit being distracted by all the lights.
Sorry about that. Anyway, we're joined by Sam Ekstrom. Now, Sam, I don't know if you can say every game's a big game for the Wild now, because they're going to make the postseason. There's no question about that. They got the 5-point lead for the first wild card, and that's the one they want, because then they hit Nashville and not Anaheim in the first round. But this, as I mentioned earlier, it truly could be a preview of the Stanley Cup final. The Rangers coming in.
Every single game the rest of the way is going to have a playoff-type atmosphere, because every single one of those six teams that they play is going to be in the postseason. And tonight, like you said, one of the top teams from the East coming in, it's going to be a great doppelganger for the Wild to measure themselves against, a team in New York who has a great goal scorer in Rick Nash. They've acquired Martin St. Louis, and that's really pushed them over the top. They're trying to make that run this year out of the Eastern Conference. They've come up short in years past. So they're a hungry team, and this is still a Wild team, Bob, that hasn't lost a game by more than a goal since the All-Star break, haven't lost two straight since the All-Star break. They have not been blown out by anybody, and they've held their own against the top competition, the worst competition, everyone in the NHL they've taken down. So it's going to be another fantastic test, and you almost cringe wondering when the worm is going to turn, wondering at what point will the Wild's magic finally end. You hope it's not tonight.
Well, they're hoping it's at the end of when they're hoisting that Stanley Cup at the end. But you know what the Rangers don't have? They don't have Devan Dubnyk.
No.
So who's got? They got no shot. No, it is incredible. It's to me, it's one of the best stories in sports. What has happened with this? A guy that a couple of teams basically gave up on. He comes here and he came at the right time because they were starting to get a little healthy. And I think that, I don't want to keep going over and over again, but I do think that the human, a lot of people just think they're athletes. They need to produce. We have no idea how difficult it was for Ryan Suter and also for Zach Parise, Ryan losing his dad before the season and Zach knowing his dad was terminally ill.
Both of those had to have weighed on them. I've had people tell me that Suter seemed off his affect was a little bit different for the first couple months of the season. He just seemed more morose, not as engaged. He seems to have turned that around, obviously. And with the victories, too, comes a lot of morale boosting. There's a lot of more camaraderie in the locker room. And then to have a guy who glues it all together in Devan Dubnyk, who really came in at a perfect time when they got healthy. They had a weaker schedule. They got to build up some confidence and beat some inferior teams. And now they're finally beating those elite teams that they were unable to beat in the early months of the season, November and December. They've taken down LA recently. They took down Chicago in their streak. They've played some of the top teams in the Eastern Conference and won, particularly the Islanders. It's been a magical run. I can't think of a time, Bob, that a Minnesota team has been this on fire since the 2006 Twins, I think, is the last team that was this hot late in the season.
That's a good comparison. And if you're a Minnesota Wild fan, here's what you have to hope for. You want to hope that it is Winnipeg has a 2-point lead on LA. LA and Winnipeg both lost two straight, and Winnipeg's at 90 points and LA is at 88. You don't want LA to be, nobody wants them in the postseason.
They're so dangerous. They've got one of the best goaltenders in the world. He hasn't put up great numbers this year, but he has that potential. They're just the consummate professional team who sneaks in the door and then makes a run in the playoffs. Now, there is a possibility that they're worn down. They've had three very long Stanley Cup playoff runs the past three seasons that really they've played the equivalent of four seasons in the past three, but they still have a lot of veterans on that team. Anze Kopitar is finally turning things around. Obviously, Drew Doughty, that 70s line that they call it, that third line that scores so many goals for them featuring Tyler Toffoli. That's a scary team if they can sneak in. I think they're 3 points back in the Pacific, 2 points back of the wild card with five to go.
That's
LA right on the edge.
Yeah, and they have to catch Calgary in the Pacific and catch Winnipeg. And right now with a 5-point lead, your Wild should be fine. Now, I want to go back for a second. I have not seen it, if anyone has, and maybe you have been there when it's been discussed. Has anyone, and again, if I missed it, if they did, has anyone talked to Zach Parise or Ryan Suter about how, one, the death of the absolutely unexpected death of Ryan's dad, and sadly, the expected death of Zach's dad, because he was terminally ill, impacted them? Has anyone broached that question with him? Because it's a legitimate thing to, and I think both would talk about it.
I agree. They're both fairly vocal guys, fairly honest guys. I haven't read anything other than maybe the day after in the press conference, the day after Parisi returned, I don't think there's been any real publications about that. But you would imagine that there's been a certain galvanizing quality about both stories, because both of their dads were such hockey legends, particularly Bob Suter with the, obviously, the Miracle on Ice team. And J.P. Parisi was a Canadian legend who had that hockey academy here in Minnesota. Both beloved figures, and I think not only a team has been galvanized by it, but I think this fan base too has really taken on a whole new level of enthusiasm, and it's almost a tribute to their fathers what they're doing right now.
Well, and that's why the reason, I mean, my dad, like it, much like Zach's, died of cancer, and it's horrible when you lose a parent. I mean, both of you have both your parents. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, good. I mean, I'm that's good that you do, but when you lose a parent, and this is how it was for me, and I don't know if it was like this for Zach, but I felt I miss him. I still do to this day, but there is closure, and you know that they're no longer in pain. So you have to move on. It's not like, well, he's gone, I'll move on. It does take some healing, but that's why I wonder about Zach, because I felt in a strange way, and maybe I feel a little guilty, but I felt better for my mom because she didn't have to live with that every day, knowing that that he was going to die. Because it's almost like a finale. It is. It's a finality and a closure. And I wonder if some of that had to do with the way, you know, that Zach was dealing with it too. And Ryan, again, completely different because it was so unexpected.
Yeah, I can't exactly put myself in that exact position that they were in. But it does make sense that Parisi may have had more stress on him in the months leading up to JP's passing. And Ryan, who didn't see it coming,
may have had
stress in the months after it. And both those periods coincided where Parisi and Suter had this stress in their lives, and now that stress is subsiding a little bit, they have really led this team. Suter has 35 assists, I believe. Parisi becomes the fourth 30-plus goal scorer in franchise history. He is carrying the team right now, even though he doesn't wear the C that Mikko Koivu does. I mean, he really is the leader, the captain of this locker room.
Honestly, that C, In some cases, it's huge. Here, to me, it's meaningless who wears it, because everyone knows who the leader on that team is. And they, out of respect there, they give him the C. But, I mean, does anyone doubt? If you were to ask people who didn't know who's the captain of this team, or who should be is the easy answer, it should be Parisi.
When you read the publications, whether it's from Chad Graff or from Michael Russo, the wild riders in this town, you can tell who they go to when they want a quote about the pulse of the locker room.
They don't go to Mikko.
No.
And it's not a slam at him at all. It's just that he's not the guy that I think people look at as the leader of that team. It's those two. It's Parisi and it's Suter. And frankly, it's Dubnyk, who suddenly's come out of as we've talked about, he came from another team, but he is he's the guy that gave him the spark that has been carrying him.
Dubnyk's got to be absolutely loving this stretch. He's never had a stretch like it in his career. He's played for Edmonton, Arizona, and he's been buried in the standings.
Who has? I mean, think about it. He's not taking a night off, and his record's astonishing.
It's remarkable. It's honestly remarkable what he's doing. And I think we're at the point now where I'm worried about what happens if they take Dubnyk out of the lineup. I mean, it's almost superstition at this point. You got to keep Dubnyk in there and keep this mojo going. You hope that this 4-day layoff they just had didn't act in the same way and throw him off his routine.
Sam, I'm going to give you a homework assignment for your next piece for 105theticket.com. Take his record, extrapolate it back. If he started the season here and did what he's doing now, they'd have over 120 points already. They'd have to be somewhere in the 120 range.
I think they'd have about 60 wins, because they've won 26 out of 34. So if you double that, that's 52 out of 68.
Well, that right there gives you 120 points.
Yeah. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal run, and you hope that they can extend Dubnyk and he doesn't get millions thrown at him in the free agent market.
Well, if he's smart, he realizes this is the best place for him, because he's been elsewhere. It didn't work. And next year, he could turn out to be not anything like what he is now, but he has his best chance for it to happen here. Sam Ekstrom, catch him on Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on the wake-up call with the laughing man, Tom Schreier. Nick Allen. I love that. We got to get him in. Where is your pal? He's at the game tonight, right?
Right. Maybe you should call him up, get a preview.
We might just have to do that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with a little threesome, three questions, three answers. You can join in, 651-989-9105. Thank you again to Sam Ekstrom for joining us. Coming up in just a couple of segments, the guy I thought was the fiercest pass rusher in Vikings history post the Purple People Eaters. Because I'm not gonna dog our guy Carl Eller and Alan Page. I did not see either one of them play in person, only on TV. Both phenomenal. But Keith Millard will be our guest. He's as good as they got as a pass rusher in NFL history. And we'll be right back.
3-0, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is.
Bad.
It's the magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity.
Babada-babada-babada-bee.
It's a magic number.
It's magical.
It's so magical. Because, you know, I mentioned we're going to have Keith Millard as our guest. I was just taking a look at the year he won AP. The AP is the big award, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award.
Mm-hmm.
That's the year Dolman actually had 21 sacks that year. And Keith Millard beat him out for player, and he was. He absolutely deserved it. He actually was third in sacks. Tim Harris from the Packers had 19 and a half. Keith Millard, keep in mind, though, Millard was a defensive tackle with 18 sacks. That year, he was ahead of Lawrence Taylor, Bruce Smith. I mean, he was ahead of guys who were Hall of Famers. And well, he was behind Dolman, who was one. But if you did not see him play, he was, to me, the most destructive lineman of his time. Certainly one of them. I mean, you still had... He did have Bruce Smith playing at end, but as for defensive tackles, there were none better than Keith Millard, and that's why I'm excited to talk to him a little bit earlier. I'm excited to have him as a guest, and we'll have him as a guest coming up here yet. If you want to call in and talk to Keith, when we have him, 651-989-9105 will be the number to call. But for right now, and you can jump in now at that same 651-989-9105, if you want to take part in the threesome, and it's not like me, Hellboy, and another guy. These are three questions, in case you're just tuning in and don't know how it works.
I was confused for a second.
Oh, you were thinking we go the other.
Even though I've been here for
a while.
A little while.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you were hoping. Anyway, what's the first question?
Hey, Bob, I have three questions for you. Number one, the Wild haven't played since Saturday. Will they come out looking rusty tonight?
That actually is one hell of a question, because I've wondered that earlier in the week. Devin Dubnyk has not had a gap of days off like he faced just now. Will he lose some of his edge? Will it be different for him and them? Because remember, they were going for a while there. I mean, over the last two, 3 weeks, it was every other night or some back-to-back games, maybe a two-night break. This is a long break for them, and they come back against the Rangers. So I think it'll be I'm very interested to see how this one plays out. And you hope, if you're a Wild fan, that Dubnyk doesn't get shelled.
Yeah.
I mean, having 4 days off, this might be more than he can handle or needs. If he's been doing as well as he has with, every other game or back-to-back, you wonder, well, is this going to be the end? Will the magic have seeped out of him?
Like I mentioned, they haven't allowed more than 3 goals in the last 30 games. But if New York does jump out to a lead, it's going to be really tough to come back, because they've got one of the best goalies in the league over there.
This is also, for that, I mean, to have the 4-day layoff and face one of the best teams in the league, that's not good either, because it might have happened regardless. So mm-hmm. That's why this is a real intriguing game. What else you got?
Number two. With Tony Romo restructuring his contract, how likely is it that the Cowboys are going to trade for Adrian Peterson?
I would say that it's a slam dunk they're going to try to trade for him. I think that's what this is all about. They have made the cap room necessary to acquire Adrian Peterson. Now, of course, they have to come to an agreement and a deal with the Vikings. None of the people are around. Actually, the only guy that I could recall that is still around from when the horrific Herschel Walker trade was named and Mike Lynn allowed himself to be fleeced by giving up all those draft picks was Scott Studwell. He was a player then. He had nothing to do with it. But when I say no one is still around, no one in management, no one involved in that deal. That was strictly a Mike Lynn deal. Jerry Burns, the coach at the time, did not even know about it until the last minute. And it was not what he wanted. He wound up getting, here's a guy that was in Herschel Walker, a guy who was an eye back, and he ran best out of the eye. That's not how Jerry Burns' offenses worked. So it was a bad pickup at the time. And other than the first game when he ran out of his shoe for a touchdown, it didn't go well with Herschel Walker here. But I think the Vikings, every team in the league is on notice that you cannot allow yourself to be fleeced the way the Vikings once were with Herschel Walker. So I think they're going to take a very hard line, and he's worth – I still think Peterson has value. But if they can come out of this with a first round pick or even a, you know, maybe even a second, but a first round pick from the Cowboys puts you in the 20s, right?
Yeah.
It's not a great pick. So I think that they should be offering at least that for Adrian Peterson. And if you're the Cowboys, you would be crazy not to do that because you need a running back. You put him in that backfield with Romo and the receivers that they have and Dez Bryant, that becomes, it's a team that, and that, particularly with that offensive line plowing open holes, he could actually run for that 2,500 yards you talked about a few years ago.
Maybe their offensive line falls apart a little bit, kind of like we had an amazing offensive line the year that Adrian Peterson rushed for over 2,000 yards, yeah, and the next season they just didn't look the same.
I think a lot of that had to do with Adrian too, though. These guys, that is a line. That is a line that can plow open holes because they did it for DeMarco Murray. Led the league in rushing. I mean, they beat him to death, which is probably part of it. They never expected or planned on keeping him. I just think that Jerry Jones seems to have a way, certainly has a way to fleece the Vikings, but I just see him getting what he wants out of this. And that's Adrian Peterson. And Peterson wants to go there too. That's why we're hearing all this stuff about his agent, Ben Dahlgren, and AP needs to do a little manning up here, but by saying it's his wife. His wife doesn't like it here. Her feelings are hurt. He just doesn't want to be here. He wants to be in Dallas. It might be more about being in Dallas than it is about not being here. He wants to play for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. He made that clear in the offseason when he had the little conversation with Jerry Jones that he wants to play for the Cowboys someday. I just think he's trying to accelerate it. Anywho, what else you got?
And finally, Cliff Saunders says he hasn't discussed his coaching status with the owner yet. Will Flip be back as coach next year, or will he find someone else for the job?
You know, Flip is in a great position because as part owner and team president, he can do what he wants. I mean, he's going to, if he tells Glenn Taylor, hey, I got to coach the team, Taylor will maybe, you know, push back a little, but he's going to let Flip do what Flip thinks is best. If I were Flip, see, the problem is Flip is a very competitive guy. He does not want to walk away with the team in the shape it's in now. He wants to get it on the right track. But I think the best thing for him would be to hire another coach. He still will be heavily involved. The problem is, what coach is going to come in here knowing he's got Flip on his shoulder and in his ear every single day?
Tom Izzo.
Tom Izzo's not coming here.
Be cool, though, right?
They're pals.
Yeah.
But why would Izzo leave Michigan State? Look what he does every year.
It doesn't make any sense, but then it also came out today that Billy Donovan is going to listen to NBA offers this year. He's willing to leave Florida, apparently.
Billy Donovan saying that, I think, is more about Billy Donovan getting even a better chunk of change coming out of Florida. It's all leverage with these guys.
Yeah, but he hasn't really done
What's he done lately?
Recently, yeah.
So, okay, listen
to
offers.
Wants to try and move on.
Well, maybe he's getting the word that if you don't start turning things around, your job will be lost. Tom Izzo is like Krzyzewski. He has a job for life. You know, how many guys can you say without any hesitation in college basketball, they are there as long as they want to be? It might just be those two. I wouldn't say Calipari's in that situation, nor would I say Patino is. Maybe Patino.
Roy Williams, possibly.
At Kansas? Or North Carolina?
North Carolina. It's his alma mater. He's brought them a couple championships.
Even North Carolina,
though.
I think
he can stay as long as he wants.
Maybe.
And he still gets good players in.
Yeah.
Marcus Page.
No.
He had a great tournament.
Yeah.
And he's a really solid talent. So he still brings these
Maybe.
Guys in.
But okay, what do you think about Patino? Calipari, I don't think. I mean, that Kentucky job is this is a great year for him. But 2 years from now, if he lost 6 or 7 games and he got knocked out before the Sweet 16 or even in the Sweet 16, they start calling for his head.
Yeah, I can't see Louisville really saying, see you later, Patino, we don't need you anymore.
No.
I think
he'd be in that too.
Probably one of those guys that can stay.
But I think unquestioned, it's Izzo and it's Krzyzewski. And frankly, if you're Gonzaga, you're not going to say, let's get rid of Mark Few. A program like that isn't going to do that.
And I probably would rather have Tom Izzo. I really don't want Billy Donovan. That's just a name I threw out there. I'd prefer Tom coming here over Billy Donovan. But I think Flip really wanted Dave Yeager to come here from Memphis.
Yep.
And then Memphis got smart and decided, hey, this is actually a good coach. We should probably keep him.
Well, but you know what? They should have pumped up the money they were offering then. Because these guys will come for money. They always come for money.
Well, that was the thing. He was still under contract for another year with Memphis. And they were allowing us to negotiate with him. And then they wised up and
they
said,
They could have bought him out of it. I mean, there were ways that they could have made it work if they really wanted to. And again, but dealing with a Memphis owner that is a little goofy. I mean, why do you even let him?
You can't even
interview.
Trade coaches.
Yeah.
It's happened. Yeah. Doc Rivers.
That's a good point. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll talk to Pat Borsey from the New York Times and MinnPost. Talk to him about the Final Four. We'll talk a little maybe wild with him. But also, AP, he's been on top of all of it. So when we return, and then after Pat, we got Keith Millard. But Pat Borsey coming up next from the New York Times and MinnPost. Oh! I just watched the video. Hellboy and I were talking during the break. There's a guy in Florida. He's a pro wrestler. He wrestles under the name Rob Venomous. Well, he's got a young kid, a son, that had a loose front tooth. So, you mentioned the old doorknob trick. You ever use that when you were a kid?
No. Okay. I just grab and pull.
I tried it, and I don't think it worked when I did it. It wasn't ready yet. But what Rob Venomous did is he tied a string to his son's loose tooth. One end. The other end he tied to the bumper of his Chevy Camaro, and then he gunned it. That thing came right out. And the kid, they had a close-up of the kid. He's, like, smiling.
The bumper didn't rip off?
No, the bumper didn't rip off. Oh. It happened. Anyway, if you want, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Bob Sansevier, BobSansevere. I retweeted the video of this thing. You got to take a look at this. It's actually funny, and the kid wasn't hurt. No harm done, no harm, no foul. We are joined by Pat Borsey from the New York Times and MinnPost. And Pat, well, first, how are you?
I'm great, Bob. How are you doing?
Do you ever have a tooth taken out by a Camaro?
No. That was a very, very interesting way of doing it, but I'm not surprised it happened in Florida. I used to live in Florida. And
this common sense kind of stuff?
All kinds of creative stuff happened down there, and still does.
Yeah. Well, when I grew up in Jersey, and we were told there was a kid in my kindergarten class had no upper front teeth. We were told that he found out about the tooth fairy and knocked them all out. Because he wanted to get his, I guess he wanted to load up on quarters at the time. Much different now, but...
If it was North Jersey, I believe
it
that.
Was Hackensack, New Jersey.
Yes, that's north enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Either that or he didn't pay off some first grade, bet that he made with some first grader and they knocked him out for him. You never know.
This could have been an arc in The Sopranos if it had been handled properly.
Actually, it would have been a good one. Now, Pat, you probably have seen this story, the ESPN, or they had a map showing the only two states.
Yes, I laughed like...
Isn't that hilarious? That. The only two states not pulling for Wisconsin, 48 of the 50 pulling for Wisconsin, except for Kentucky and Minnesota.
That was pretty funny. I think Myron Metcalf retweeted that first, our old pal from former Star Tribune writer who does such a great job at ESPN.com. And I think I saw that tweet. I was laughing.
Oh, it's terrific. Well, what chance do you give Wisconsin? A good one, a decent one, or none?
Oh, good one. Absolutely. Because if you look at how, Notre Dame almost beat Kentucky, they spread the floor. Made them defend the pick and roll, which they didn't do very well, and made their big guys try to move laterally on defense and then beat them to the rim. What ended up beating Notre Dame, and the reason Kentucky was able to survive, is their big kid, that Karl Anthony Downs kid, was able to post up, pretty much get the ball anywhere he wanted on the block because Notre Dame didn't have a post guy strong enough to shove him off the block. Now, Wisconsin can do this one of two ways because they have a 7-footer in Frank Kaminsky. Frank's he's stronger than he looks, probably not as strong as Downs, but, Towns, excuse me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, they can play it one of two ways. They can front him, which Notre Dame couldn't do because if we had a 6'8 kid trying to front them, then they just do alley-oops all day. Or you can try to play behind him, try to shove him off the block before he gets the ball, make him start farther out in the post than he likes to. And then he's got arms that he's going to have to shoot over his arms. So they've got a better chance of defending him. The thing you want to make sure that Kentucky doesn't do, because if Kentucky starts rolling with threes, then you're all screwed.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin's got a million different ways to score, and they've got kids that have been in the Final Four before. They're veteran guys. They're not going to be scared. They've been in tough games. They've been behind. They've been through every possible situation. And Bo Ryan's a terrific coach. Now, Calipari is probably a better coach than a lot of people give him credit for, and I think that they're going to be working on pick and roll. They've been working on pick and roll defense all week. So it'll be a great game. I think that Wisconsin has a really good chance to win. And I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going
to
be a great
game. I'm looking forward to both of them. I do think Duke will win against Michigan State, but Michigan State, we were just talking about Izzo. David Helmer, our producer, was opining or wondering, would Flip go after Izzo? Because they are buddies. I just, why would Izzo ever leave Michigan State?
Izzo has had multiple opportunities to leave with much better teams than the Timberwolves. What you'd have to ask yourself is, why would he want to leave a situation where he's got a job for life to come here and take over a team that has been so bad for so long? It just wouldn't make sense. I mean, there would have to be something I'm not thinking of that would convince him to do it, and I don't really see what he needs it for. I mean, think of it this way. Look at all the opportunities that Krzyzewski has had to leave Duke, and all kinds of opportunities, you know, with much better teams than the Timberwolves, and he's never left.
Well, and that's,
he's not going to leave. Why would Izzo leave?
Absolutely, and that's the question that we just talked about that, too, in the last segment that David and I were, and the question was, who has absolute, could have the job for life or as long as he wants? The two that jump out are Krzyzewski and Izzo. Do you put Pitino? Who else do you put in that grouping with those two that they will go nowhere unless they want to?
Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah, Hoiberg in Iowa State, he is the mayor.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Timberwolves came after him again, and the Bulls are apparently making some noise about getting him. But, you know, Fred's in a perfect situation, you know, and even to an extent, Greg Marshall's in a situation like that, too. I mean, people will continue to go after him because it is Wichita, because it's Wichita State, and they were able to pony up some more money to keep him. But I think there's a hesitancy among some of these guys, because sometimes if you're in a really good situation and your family likes it and your kids like the schools, there's the old adage that the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And if you're in a really good situation already and you feel like you can recruit and win there, do you really need to jump to another situation where you might not get the support and that where the fan base is a little crazier? You know, Ben Jacobson down at Northern Iowa just signed a 10-year extension to stay. And you might say, well, why does he want to stay at a mid-major? And I was down there and did a story on the team, and Seth Tuttle was a terrific player. And if you see his little son running around playing basketball in the gym and how comfortable that family is down there, it really makes a lot of sense. If you're in a good situation...
Yeah, why mess with it?
Yeah, you got to think long and hard about whether you want to rip everybody up for something that may not be quite as good as the one you're in.
Well, that's like me and Hellboy here. We never leave in the ticket.
Yeah, there you go.
Not of our choice, anyway. So now let me ask you let me ask you this, by the way. Duke, Michigan State, you going with Duke?
I think you have to, but it's going to be, I really hesitate only because I really like Izzo so much and his teams are so good. Duke's got a better team. Krzyzewski is as good a coach as there is, obviously. And, you know, that Tyus Jones kid, every
heard
time I watch him, I'm just more and more impressed with not only his ability, but his basketball smarts.
I'll tell you what, keep an eye on Trey Jones, the freshman, the younger brother who led Apple Valley. He's already an inch taller, and he's going to be one heck of a point guard, too.
I never saw Tyus play in high school, but I think I'm going to make a point to go see the little brother play.
The little big brother.
Okay, the younger brother, shall we say.
All right, Pat, thanks so much for taking the time. Pat Borzy from the New York Times and MinPost. And we're going to actually, I look forward to this segment, the next one. We're going to have one of my favorite Vikings of all time. Keith Millard is going to join me.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's a hell of a guy. But anyway, Pat, thanks so much, and we'll stay in touch. We'll talk next week.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Take care.
All right, as I said, as featured, previewed, however you want to say it, the best pass rusher I ever covered. Up next, Keith Millard.